Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, just a quick reminder before we get started. We've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Use our code, THESENSORYPROJECT, for a discount on any of their programs. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. Rachel and I are both certified providers and can help you and your family experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show.
We're back with another interview. It seems like you guys like the interviews. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback, so we want to bring you as many interviews as we can. And today, we're interviewing someone famous.
She is.
So her name is Jenny, and she is on Instagram. She's a blogger. And she's a mom.
Mm-hmm. So Jenny is sharing her journey from having a 24-week-old premature babe to killing it and rocking therapy and
rocking life.
Just having a great time.
So this interview that we're about to throw at you is just, it's heartfelt and it's real, and I hope you guys love it.
We hope you can relate to it as well.
Yes.
So let's do it.
Okay.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So good. We're glad you're here. We're excited to share your story with everybody.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me to be on your podcast.
Of course.
Yes. No, I was super excited when we were talking. We were like, who should we interview next? And Rachel was like, oh, I know this girl on Instagram. And we were like, okay, let's do it. And then you said yes.
Barely, but I'm excited. This is outside my comfort zone, but I need to do it. It's good.
But you're doing it for great honor.
I love what you guys are doing.
Oh.
Anything to support what you guys are doing. I think that you guys have found this niche that is so untouched on Instagram, and parents are thirsty for the information that you're sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love it. Okay, so the first thing that we like to do with our interviews is ask 5 questions that we did not send you beforehand. And our last interview, she was really prepared because she had listened to our interviews, so she knew what questions we were going to ask. We had to change them this time.
And she knows exactly what questions are, too.
I knew you were going to change them.
So you get a whole new set of questions.
I have my answers right here. Chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, no. No.
We might need a brain break now.
We're officially 6 minutes in and we need a break.
Might be a while.
Love it. No, these are going to be great questions. Super easy. We're excited to hear what you answer.
Okay, so first one. What is your drink of choice?
Oh my gosh. I hesitate to say it. Energy drinks in the morning. And then water throughout the day. And then if I need something, I don't even know. What do I drink? A lime beer.
Oh.
Or a White Claw.
Oh, yes.
I love the White Claws.
Those What's your favorite energy drink? What do you drink?
We have Quick Trip here. It's a gas station, and they have a drink that I like. I don't know. It's their brand drink.
Oh, okay.
So.
You don't drink coffee in the morning?
I've tried so hard to like coffee.
Oh.
And I really want to like it. So I have some secret intro coffee drinker. I need that. But no.
Feeding therapy for coffee.
drinking therapy.
Yeah, drinking therapy. Have you drank it 20 times?
I mean, not like in a row, like not 20 days in a row, but I've tried it in different ways at least 20.
You know what? That's okay.
It's gonna be fine.
You're gonna make it.
I mean, I want to. So bad, I have to.
Oh, that makes me happy. Okay. I'm excited to hear this next one. What does your evening routine look like?
Evening routine. See, I was ready for my morning routine. evening routine is usually we go on a walk with Finlay, kind of like wind down for the day. We're done with appointments and all that stuff. So we'll go for a walk, and then Connor gets meds at 7, so pretty much every night at 7, we're home or we're on our way home. And I try to keep him from throwing up for 30 minutes to absorb his meds. And then we really just kind of start the bedtime process, whether that's taking a bath or whatever needs to be done that night. Usually it's always the same. So he gets his meds, his breathing treatment. And if his dad's not home, we FaceTime his dad so he can say goodnight to him. His dad travels, so he's not here that often. So we try to kind of make our routine the same. And then we read a few books. Connor picks out books that we read. And then we attempt to go to sleep.
It's the best part.
Yes, it is. The nighttime is my favorite part of the day. Like, we made it through another day, like, kind of wrapping things up, and, yeah.
I like that. That positive spin.
Yeah.
We made it through another day. We're here. We enjoyed the day with hopefully less throw up than the previous day.
Yeah. It's getting better. It's not that bad. It's not bad.
Okay. What are you currently reading or listening to?
Besides the Sensory Project show.
I mean, that's my consistent one. reading. I wish that I made time to read. If I am reading something, it's books about the brain. There's been a few that I found that I've liked. Blanking on the names right now, of course, but just trying to learn all I can about the brain, because one, it fascinates me, but two, it's encouraging to me to know that the brain can change and improve and neural pathways can be built. And so that is what I read. If I read, I do like podcasts, and then I try to do like audio books here and there when I can.
In the car. Always using your time efficiently.
Always. Trying.
I love it. Cool. Well, you'll have to send us the name of some of your favorite books.
I will. Yeah.
And link those. All right. My favorite. What is your sensory quirk?
I think mine is sound. Like, too much sound, too many different sounds at once. I'm sure I always had it, but I kind of think maybe it developed more during the NICU, because you're always hearing alarms and like they always mean something and they can mean something bad, and so I think that's probably gotten worse over the years, just with our NICU experience. So sound bothered me sometimes. I like have to just like turn it all down, like I can't do it.
Yep, same way.
I was gonna say, I get that too. I just need quiet.
And I think as we grow up and we learn about our kids and their sensory needs, we learn about our own.
Yeah. I think I am sensitive about sounds also because of Connor at times. He used to be very sensitive to some sounds. And so I think I just get like hypersensitive. I don't want it to, you know, bother him or whatever. So probably a multi-level sensory quirk there.
Yeah. It's a good one. Okay, last question. What is one word that other people use to describe you?
Oh, gosh.
I like the twist on this
one. I know.
Strong, probably, is the word I get. Probably strong. I've obviously been through a lot with Connor, and he's been through way more than me. But I think, you know, the only way to help him is to kind of stay strong and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you agree with that, that you are strong?
I do some days. Some days I definitely don't.
Okay.
But we all have bad days, so.
Yeah, so true.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That word, strong.
I mean, I feel like I know you just through Instagram.
I know. We're like Instagram friends.
I know. We're going to meet in real life one day.
We're going to go get green juice when we meet in person.
Yes. Yes. So I would agree.
We're not really.
No. No.
Oh, gosh. You had to throw that in there.
I did. I'm still working on that container. I sent you a picture of like a month ago.
Yes.
I'm going to finish it.
You will.
I'm going to do it.
You will. It's going to be great. I love it. All right. So let's do this. I think everyone is dying to know who you are and a little bit about your story and Connor.
Okay. Obviously I'm Connor's mom. That's probably what I get called the most lately. We have a dog, Fenway. He is incessantly licking his paw right now. so hopefully you can't hear that.
Crash is doing the same thing.
Before Connor, I was in marketing in a healthcare system, in town, and once I ran out of maternity leave when Connor was in the NICU. So Connor was born at 24 weeks. He had a twin who passed away at 1 day old. Connor was in the NICU for 6.5 months.
Smell the roses, blow out the candles. We got this.
I keep thinking we'll get easier to talk about.
You guys have been through a lot. And bringing this up and talking about it, it's all of your memories are flashing back.
So, Connor was in NICU for 6.5 months, and obviously my maternity leave was up pretty quickly before he even came home. So we made the decision that I would quit my job and stay home, or stay in the NICU with him. And then once he came home, obviously be kind of his caretaker and mom. At that time, we didn't really know what our life would look like. I mean, I guess you never really know what your life's going to look like, do you? We came home, he was 6.5 months old. Really for the first 2 years of his life, I felt like we were getting just like one diagnosis after the next. It was just constant. Came home with periventricular leukomalacia, which is a type of brain damage. So we knew that he had that, that wasn't going to change. It's not like a brain bleed that resolves or anything. But then like from there, he developed epilepsy, and then he had cortical visual impairment, still has it. So it was just kind of like one thing after the next, just kind of snowballing, and never really knew like when would it stop. At 2 years old, roughly, we finally like got to a point where he was medically stable. And so from there, we really got to start focusing on therapy. So he was in therapy in the NICU, and he was in therapy since the day he came home from the NICU. But that was kind of like a second, basically, on his medical care. And the next doctor's appointment or the next medication he needed to be on, that kind of thing. So I would say in the last year, therapy's been our obviously biggest focus, because he is at a place that he can do more, and he's ready to do more, and he's healthy.
And he's healthy.
And how old is he again?
He is 3. He turned 3 in February.
Okay. You've been through so much. He has been through so much.
It's been a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really has. He is literally the toughest kid I know. I mean, to go through so much and still smile and laugh every single day, just, it amazes me that he still does that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bless his heart. Oh, I'm proud of you for getting through that. That was hard.
So, I guess I can go on to, like, So at 2 years old is when Connor turned 2, I decided I was ready to kind of share what we had been through. And as I was thinking about it more, I realized, like, I have a lot to share about a lot of different things. He has so many different diagnoses that there's just a lot to share, a lot that we've learned. So I had already kind of started a little Instagram for him. I honestly did it because I didn't want to, like, overload my actual real-life friends with, like, pictures of him all day long. So that's kind of where his Instagram started. And then I did the blog because I just had more, obviously, writing and things to say. So
think about how many people you have helped and inspired through this journey and just had an impact on even the people that Connor has had an impact on. I mean, his goofy little smile and throwing his glasses all over the place, and he's just like the cutest kid.
He's crazy. He has such a personality. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I do have to say, I think it's interesting that you brought up the fact that he was born at 24 weeks and you had to make these big life decisions. And, you know, when you're pregnant, you don't think about these things that could happen, and your life just completely changes in one minute. And I think it's interesting that a lot of the families listening probably deal with that same feeling, like, I had everything planned out. I had this thought in my head of what it was going to be like. And then, you know, there was a different plan and this is where we are now. And so understanding that everything happens for a reason and Connor is here. Connor is the way he is. He's beautiful and amazing. And it's made you and your family so resilient and appreciate different things so much more that I think it's a hard lesson and it's a hard thing to really wrap your head around in the moment when you're going through day-to-day life with Connor and all these changes. It's a hard thing to wrap your head around and be like, this is where we're at and this is why. But I feel like you are doing a good job with that.
I try. There's definitely days where I don't, for sure, but I really find myself appreciating just, like, the small things that small to someone that maybe has a typically developing child that doesn't have the concerns that Connor does. But to us, it's huge. I mean, just to think about all of the steps that he had to go through to be able to do something and for him to get there on his own, obviously with a bunch of therapy, but for him to be able to do it is just, it blows my mind. Like, literally every day, I'm just shocked at some things that he can do because we just really didn't know, especially when he was having seizures. There were days where I just thought he would never smile again, he would never laugh, nothing. So I think kind of where we've come from has really allowed me to appreciate who he is and what he can do and how strong he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has he been seizure-free for a while now?
He has. He's been seizure-free for over 2 years now.
That's awesome.
So he had a rare form of epilepsy. It was infantile spasm, which is just a devastating diagnosis. It does so much damage every time he has a spasm. He didn't have any vision problems other than he had ROP and kind of the prematurity concerns, but he did not have cortical visual impairment before his seizures. He was mimicking facial expressions and doing so much. And then one day I noticed something different. He wasn't himself. And from there, it just did so much damage. So he really just kind of went backwards. And so for us to be able to get it under control is, we're really actually very lucky that he has been seizure free for so long with that kind of diagnosis.
Yeah, no kidding.
So he was a year old when he was starting to have this?
He was 11 months old, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 11 months old, which is actually kind of late for a baby to develop infantile spasms, but he was so early.
Mm-hmm.
He has always done everything on his timeline. It's always longer than doctors predict or later or whatever, but he, you know, that's just how he's been. And we're okay with that. You know, we know, so.
That's just Connor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In the NICU, if a baby was misbehaving or whatever, they would say, oh, baby down the hall is pulling a Connor.
No.
They, like, were, you know, they weren't doing what they were supposed to, or they were just acting odd, or, yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
Definitely just him.
Yeah. I'm glad we can laugh about it now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Probably didn't much back then. But.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the different therapies that he's done?
Yes. So, like I mentioned, he did therapy in the NICU. It was basic, like, stretching and kind of getting him in different positions. We came home, and he started the normal PTOT speech. And we're lucky enough to have really great therapists here, but I have found that intensive therapy works really well for him. So really in the last year or so, we've been pursuing intensive therapy. He does MEDIC, Cuevas MEDIC exercises is like the full name of it. We do that. He does PTOT, speech, feeding. We get to do the spider cage. Our therapist here in town, they have the spider cage, so we get to do that with him. Really, honestly, with therapy, I pursue anything that I think could help him. I at least want to try it, and if it works for him, awesome. Let's try to find a way to keep doing it. If it doesn't, that's okay. We can move on to something else, try something else. We've recently started trying to eat them with him, and I do think that it is helping. I'm still trying to learn about it, though, so we're getting there.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot, yeah. It's a lot to fit in the day, for sure.
Yeah.
And then to let him be a kid, too. And to fit that
exactly.
in.
I do struggle with that balance sometimes. It's like, for me, I'm very regimented. Like, I need a schedule. So I know, okay, in the morning we're doing standard, we're doing the corner share, and we're doing this and that. And if I get off schedule, it's really hard for me to pick back up. But it's also, you know, he is 3 years old. We need to be doing fun things. And so when we travel for intensive therapies, I do, you know, limit his therapy to the time that he's doing therapy with therapists. And then we try to find fun things to do in whatever city we're in, just things that he would like to do. And so we explore together, which has been really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the hardest things with our kids is just remembering that they are kids and they need to be able to free play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get that mom guilt or some kind of guilt, I guess, that, oh, well, you're not using this time to, like, help him get better, but at the end of the day, he does need to play. He does need to have those skills, learn how to play, be social, that kind of stuff. So I am really trying hard to find that balance.
Yeah.
But it is hard. I mean,
yeah, it is.
There's only so much time in the day. So.
Yeah. So then I guess my next question is just, like, how do you find time for yourself and for your own self-care?
I don't very well. I am been trying really hard to do that. That has been one of my like goals this year. I struggle with it every day. This morning, I was just kind of over, like, we skipped the corner chair and we went on a run. So I'm trying to like compromise and say, okay, like it's Saturday, we can maybe postpone that or do that later in the day. And like, let's get outside. It's nice out. It's not 100 degrees yet, whatever. But I do, Connor goes to school 3 hours a week on Wednesdays. So I really just use that time to get stuff done, do what I want to do, take an hour long shower if I want to.
Yeah.
Work out and do what I want to do.
Yes.
Without having to peek around the corner while I'm in the shower. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. That's the hardest part. Yeah. The balance for the kiddo and then that balance for your self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when dad is out of town, is it just you and Connor? Do you have any help? Are you guys just chilling?
It is pretty much just me and Connor. I mean, our family is here.
Okay.
But as far as like tube feedings and all that stuff, it's I have to be around him pretty much all day, every day, all night, all that kind of stuff. But we do have amazing family in town. My parents literally live up the street from us, so that's been really nice to have them so close if I need anything. And then Craig, Connor's dad, his parents live 30 minutes away, so we do have good support here, for sure.
That's good.
Yeah.
That respite care. It's hard when you have a medically involved kiddo. There's a lot of training.
Yeah, and he is not the best at being away from me, for obvious reasons. You know, I've been taking care of him all day, every day for 3.5 years or whatever. So we're working on that too.
How does he do at preschool?
He cries as soon as we pull into the parking lot. And guilt trips me the whole way in.
Oh, no.
But they say, like, once he's in, he's good. He has fun. He's not crying to the point where he throws up or, you know, like, we're getting there.
Baby steps.
Bless his heart.
Good. I'm just curious about, I mean, I know he's only three, but what does his future look like? Like, do the doctors tell you anything about the progress he'll make? Anything like that?
Honestly, I am thankful that very few doctors really have said, like, Connor will do this or Connor won't do this. I don't want to put Connor in a box. That's kind of my biggest fear of, like, okay, here you are. This is what you are capable of and nothing else. Or here's what you will do, but then, you know, when is that going to happen? Mm-hmm. So, no one has really predicted his future. And 3 years ago, I would have begged someone to tell me what our life would have been like. But as we've kind of gone on, I realized that no one can predict what he's going to be capable of. He's surprised so many people. Probably the one thing that we hear the most when we go to a new specialist or someone, a new therapist is seeing him or whatever, they will have obviously looked through his medical history, and when they see him, they're shocked. They say, this is not the kid that I thought we would be seeing. That he is so much more advanced than what we see on paper. I think based on what they see on paper, they honestly think he would be a vegetable. I mean, with the history that he's had, he's kind of tells me where he will be or where he won't be. And we'll just kind of, he'll go at his pace like he's always done, and he'll get where he gets, and, you know, it'll be good.
It'll be good.
I love that. I think that's the best advice for people who are maybe where you guys were at 3 years ago, who are going through that right now. Like, you really, you feel like you want to know what is the future going to be like? But the more these kiddos grow and learn and you learn, the more you're like, no, they're doing what they're going to do. And it is perfect the way it is. So I think that's a cool message.
There were many days when I was just sitting in the NICU. I literally searched online, Googled anything I could come up with to Google to, like, try to get a picture of what our life would be like. And I didn't find a lot, which was partly why I did start his Instagram as well and his blog. Just because I wanted that so badly. So I hope by sharing our story, people see where their kid can be and not to give up on them and just to kind of keep pushing forward.
So speaking about, well, I guess we weren't really talking about that, but in my mind, I was thinking about this. I want to know about the medic therapy.
Okay. So it's a type of physical therapy. I probably don't explain it well. So when I first heard about it, I believe I found it on Instagram. A fellow therapy mom on Instagram, her thing is Watch Me Win. Her son's Winston. He's amazing. He had been doing medic. He went to the Napa Center in California and had been doing it there. And they went to Toronto. So I kind of learned about it from them and then listened to a podcast with one of our now favorite therapists from Toronto. So that's kind of how I started learning about it. And honestly, some people here said, don't waste your money. Don't try it. And for us, we're fortunate enough to be able to try this. Like, let's do it. Let's see what happens. And I remember leaving his first section thinking, I couldn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. He was doing things that I didn't know he could do. He was being pushed so much further than he had been pushed ever. And he had fun, which is just a weird thing. Not all kids have fun doing it. He loves therapy 90% of the time. Like, wants you to clap for him, whatever.
Oh.
He's a ham. He's a big ham. But anyway, from there, I just felt like this was a good thing for him. Medic is a form of physical therapy. It is for kids with motor delays. Really, it's a broad spectrum of motor delays. So obviously Connor has CP, but it can be good for kids with Down syndrome, really just global delays in general. I've seen it work for a lot of different kids, just personally. The kind of, like, the basic assumption of CME is that you use gravity, good for head control, sitting, standing, walking, sensory issues as well. I actually saw a kiddo doing medic, and the therapist had him stand inside a box. And before all this, he was walking around fine. She put him in a box, and he started crying like he was just standing in a box, nothing different, and he didn't know what to do. So it's really just good for so many different kids.
Interesting.
Which is why we started hosting medic intensives at our house. Last October was the first time that we did it, and from there we've just kind of been doing it anytime we can get a therapist to come here, really. So I knew there was a lot of need locally just from the people that I know here. And it's actually kind of grown a little bit. We started setting up intensives in different cities. So obviously intensive therapy is very expensive. You have to travel. If you have other kids, there's just so many logistics behind going somewhere for therapy. So it's just not always possible for people. And I don't want that to be the reason that kids don't get the therapy that is available to them.
Yeah. I love that.
So we're trying to set them up closer to home, maybe make it more affordable, that kind of thing.
So is it cheaper if there's a group of people doing the intensive therapy together? Is that kind of the goal of it?
It is.
Okay.
Yes. So what we do, at least locally, we bring in, we fly a therapist in, and we obviously pay for their accommodations. And then each family, so with all the families, we split those costs, and then each family covers their therapy costs for the week. So it's definitely a lot cheaper, especially if you live in the city that the therapy is in. You don't have to pay for a hotel or airfare or rental car or food or a babysitter if you're leaving another kid at home or whatever. So
yep.
It's definitely more affordable. And honestly, if you haven't done an intensive before or tried any other therapies outside of the normal ones, it's hard to just say, okay, I'm going to spend this amount of money on something. I have no idea if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Or help or whatever. So it's just easier for families to try to see if it's an option for them.
No kidding. Wow. I
love that.
That is so cool that you're doing that.
We're trying. Hopefully it'll keep growing.
I've been finding it interesting because I hadn't heard of it, the somatic therapy, before I found your Instagram. And so it's been, I've started following a lot of the people that you tag and you recommend. And so I'll see these kids like standing on blocks and like wood, and they have these cool suits on. And the kiddos are just like chilling, you know, standing on a block, and everyone, like the therapists, are manipulating them in a certain way. So I want to learn more about it and even see if there's anything local here. Because I haven't heard of anything.
I haven't either.
Up here.
I mean, if we can get it in Oklahoma, you guys can surely get something going on there.
It's probably true.
I mean, I had not heard of it before, but it's growing. I feel like Instagram is actually helping more awareness for medic. I have so many people that reach out to me saying, like, what is this? Like, how do I get my kid trying this therapy? I think it could help them, whatever. So Instagram just has blown my mind really in the last, like, year of just, like, the community that's there and what you can find on Instagram. Mm-hmm. There are so many things I have found for Connor on Instagram.
Instagram for the win, so always.
The friends I've made on Instagram, it's just, like, so weird.
Yeah, Instagram is like number one right now.
Yeah. What advice can you give to other families who are maybe in your position now, or who maybe are going through what you went through with Connor? What advice can you give them?
I said it earlier, but I would probably still tell them, don't let anyone, any doctor, any specialist, any therapist, anyone tell you what your kid will or won't do. Don't let them put them in a box. I feel like once that is made, then you just have like this mental note of like, okay, they're not going to be able to do that, so why would I even try?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the number one thing that I would tell parents is, don't put your kid in the box. They are capable of so much. The brain is amazing. It may take them longer to do something, but that's okay. I mean, you'll appreciate it so much more when you actually see them doing it. And then I would also say, try different therapies. There are so many different therapies now for kids. Find a way to try them. You never know what's going to work for your kid, what your kid's going to respond to. It could really be a game changer.
I love it. Try new things.
It's kind of like what you said about the first time that you had done medic with Connor, and you said they were pushing him to do things that you didn't think that he could even do. And so if you wouldn't have even tried it, you wouldn't have realized all that he is capable of. So I really like that.
Yeah. And I honestly, that is the same reaction I hear from every parent I talk to after their first intensive or their first medic session, really, everyone says the same thing. My kid was doing this. I didn't know they could do this, or they were working so hard, or they were being pushed so much more than we've ever done with them. It's the same reaction. Like, your kid is capable of so much more than you realize. And it might take an intensive or a therapist or someone to bring that out of them for you to see it. But that's okay.
Yeah,
it is.
I love it. Yeah, don't put limits on your kids. I love that advice so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I could just talk with you all day and, like, pick your brain and ask questions that you probably get all the time, but it's so interesting to me and all the things.
Ask what?
Okay. This is an off-the-record question, because it's personal, and I know it gets weird when we talk about this stuff, but...
Cool, what's going to happen?
I am curious about...
I'm so interested what's going to happen right now.
This is not written down. This is what happens. This is podcasting 2.0.
Okay, say it.
Okay, I am curious about insurance. I mean,
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, from NICU for 6 months, therapy equipment, medic, like, tell me about, if you're comfortable. I'm just,
I'm happy to share that, because that is one of the biggest questions families have. Like, does my insurance cover it? How much does this cost? I mean, we have to know. It's expensive. The NICU, we honestly... Connor's bill, I can't even tell you how much his bill was in the NICU. I actually got a bill in the mail that was like $756,000 that we owed. And I was like, So I called. Wow. I'm freezing. Can you hear me?
Oh, is my face stuck open on your screen right now? Oh my God.
Yeah, your face froze. Okay, so I was like, okay. So I called them, and they were like, yeah, how do you want to pay for this? I'm like, what? They're like, $750, like, it took them a while to, like, realize how much the bill actually was for. I was like, no, I'm not going to, like, give you my credit card number, because it's not going to work, $4 million.
Oh, my gosh.
But we've been... so lucky when it comes, so fortunate, not even lucky. Craig's company insurance is amazing right now, anyway, this year, last year, whatever, it's been really good. Because Connor was born so tiny in Oklahoma, they have insurance through the state that will cover hospital stays, like NICU stays for kids born under 2 pounds. So Connor qualified for that.
Wow.
So we actually, I don't even think we really received a bill for the NICU, which blows my mind.
Wow.
Because his bill was probably $2 million, I would say, like total. It was a lot.
What?
Yeah. Wow. He was in two different NICUs in town. So surgeries and an ambulance ride, you know, all of that stuff. And then as far as insurance for therapy, we are very lucky. Our insurance does cover a good chunk of, like, Napa Center, in LA and Boston. So that helps. And then when we travel to Toronto, it's all cash. You don't, obviously Canada has a different insurance situation. So, it's all cash. And then when we bring therapists to town, it's all cash. So it's expensive.
Yeah.
Right now we're fortunate enough to be able to do it. That may change down the road, you know, life changes, you just never know. But I just know how expensive it is for families and how hard it is for families. So that's kind of my drive to try to get these intensives in different cities. Because I, as a mom, would hate to know about a therapy that could help my kid but I can't access it. It's too expensive. It's too far away. It's whatever the barrier is. I want to try to get rid of some of those barriers so that more kids can get this help. I mean, this isn't just like, I don't know, learning to write your name or something. Like, this is life-changing. That is also life-changing. Don't get me wrong. But this is like learning to sit, learning to walk, learning like skills that you need for your entire life for like a better quality of life. So I just, that's been a bigger drive of mine this year, is trying to make therapy, specifically intensive therapy, more accessible to kids closer to home.
That's amazing. I can feel your passion through the camera right now. I can feel it. For those of you listening to the podcast, I'm sorry. Hopefully you can hear the passion.
It's there.
Oh, okay. Thank you for answering that. I know that's a weird question, but...
Yeah.
It's...
No, it's a common question. I mean, it's something that needs to be talked about, honestly.
Probably more.
Mm-hmm. More so than it is.
Yeah. So it's not so taboo.
Yeah, that's my one worry. I don't, you know, obviously talk about the cost on Instagram or anything, but it is, it's a big question everyone has. You need to know how much things cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can do it or not, if you can try to do it.
Mm-hmm. I have a frog hop question as well. So you said that you, when you're traveling to these different places for therapy, do you fly or do you drive?
We fly. I'm actually planning to drive to Toronto.
Oh gosh.
I'm putting this out into the world, so I actually like have to do it.
Oh no.
I'm planning to drive to Toronto later this summer because we're going to be there for so long. And then Connor has an appointment in a different city close by with a specialist like shortly after. So it's going to be our first attempt driving. I may buy plane tickets like the night before we leave.
Well, I'm...
But no, we normally fly.
I'm curious how he does flying.
He does pretty well, actually. I have learned to not pack any toys. It's pointless to pack toys for him. He's gonna throw any toy on the ground. I just wait for like those snacks to come around, and then he likes to play with the packaging. He doesn't eat it, unfortunately, but those are kind of our built-in toys. He honestly does well. He doesn't normally nap, but that's okay. Like, when we're flying, and it's most of the time it's just me and him, I just kind of tell myself, like, okay, we will be there in X number of hours. Like, we can get through this. Like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
So he does well, though. I mean, he's a good traveler.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I'm picturing green vomit all over the plane right now.
Oh, dear.
Well, he definitely vomited in the airport. Oh. I had two older ladies, like, freaking out, and I'm just like, is this normal? I'm just, like, cleaning him up, and they're just, like, shoveling, like, paper towels at me, and like, he's fine. It's okay. This is normal.
This is what we do. I say that because she just shared about him with green vomit all over his body in the car.
Yes.
His food is a green tint going in, so that's why it comes out.
Yeah.
It's too funny. It's too funny. Vomit is one of those things that I don't love. And I feel like as a mom, it's just something that you have to get over.
You still don't love it, though.
No, you don't. You hate it more because it gets into every crevice that it possibly
That's
can.
True.
Like, crevices you don't think that it should ever sneak into, but it does.
Yep.
The things that you'd never think you'd talk about on a podcast.
We talked about a lot of those.
We did.
Vomit and poo.
Yes, exactly.
You can thank Connor for that one.
Thanks, buddy. You should make sure that he listens to this episode with you.
Oh, I will. We will on our way to OT every Wednesday. Oh,
so awesome.
We can plug it in.
Oh.
Good. Okay, so on that note, do you have any questions for us?
I do have questions for you guys. This is kind of a broad question. I don't know if you can answer it, but so coming from like a parent that has a million things to do in a day for their kid, but I still want to help him with vestibular or sensory things, what would be like 2 to 3 things that you would recommend parents do a day just to kind of help with some sensory, vestibular, whatever it may be? I know that's a broad question.
No.
But I feel like parents are dying for that information, because sensory to me is kind of invisible in a sense. Like, you can always come up with like a different reason why something is happening when really it could be sensory.
Mm-hmm. True. So I would say therapy ball. I would say get a therapy ball and put some of his favorite toys behind him and roll him backwards over it and have him grab a toy. I know he has limited range of motion. Is it his right arm?
Yeah, his right arm.
Yeah.
Is his weaker arm.
So if you can have him go backwards over the ball, get his head in a different plane, and then pick up the toy, however much facilitation to pull him up to a sit. I mean, it'll have to be modified for sure, but even if he's not pulling up to a sit, having him go backwards over the therapy ball and then on his tummy going over forward onto the therapy ball, I think that's the easiest way and the safest way for a kiddo like Connor without actually knowing him, but incorporating that into play.
And that's so funny because the therapy ball is the one thing I always tell parents to get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you have a therapy ball? Go get one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be the
one thing. We have too many different sizes.
That and do you have a peanut ball?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other good one.
A peanut ball would be good too. Because if you think about the vestibular system, you're trying to get your head into different planes to get it to register that movement. And we want him to be safe, but we want him to be playing. So if you can make it into a game, if you can do it with like musical chairs almost and fitting it into your day, 3 minutes maybe, playing on the therapy ball, moving around on the therapy ball.
Bouncing on the therapy ball.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that already?
Perfect. I like it. We do, yeah, we do some. But I think it's good. Like, people need to know those kinds of things, you know?
I think so.
I mean, you get a therapy ball, but then, like, what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually have, like, I like to do these things where I take an activity or an object and I create like 30,000 different ways to use it. I really like to do that. And I have a list of ways to use a therapy ball written on my phone right now that I need to share. I wanted to get a certain amount and I'm not there yet. It's on my to-do list.
How many notes do you have on your phone? I bet it's a lot. I'll show you, like, lists of, like, things
you're,
like, projects
you're
working on.
Oh. I'll show you, too. Oh, no. So this is my, hold on, where is it? Can you see it? My reminders.
How many, oh.
I just went through and deleted a lot of those.
That's a lot.
Oh, that's horrible. Okay.
Yeah.
That's and then,
reminders.
How do you have notes? 238 notes.
I can't even count mine. I write mine down.
You have a lot. You're working on.
I know. Well, I mean, they're kind of silly. Some of them are silly.
What questions should parents ask their current child, like their therapist at home, regarding the sensory system? I feel like initially I didn't really know what to ask therapists. I wanted to know about it, but I didn't know what to ask, what things meant. Like, what are questions to get that conversation going for parents?
I would say, how is sensory affecting my child? What should I be looking for? What am I, like, air quotes, podcast people, what am I making an excuse for that is actually a sensory challenge? So, or a sensory quirk that, you know, we're just kind of brushing off, oh, my kiddo doesn't like messy play. Well, why? What's the underlying reason? Those are my first go-to. What are yours?
I just think that you need to ask all the questions.
That's not helpful.
I know. I just had a parent apologize for asking so many questions during a session because she came in on the session with us. And she apologized and I was like, no, please keep asking all the questions. Text me with your questions. Like, I think just asking, why is my child doing this? Why is my child doing this? Is this, you know, something that I should be concerned about? I think that's a big one because a lot of times we're concerned about things that maybe we don't need to be necessarily concerned about because it's a kid thing. And so knowing the difference between what the kid maybe should or shouldn't be doing and if it's sensory related.
I just
yes,
I
Rachel,
forget.
Can I call on you? Can I call on you? She's raising her hand.
Oh no.
Oh
no, it'll come to me. Okay. How am I gonna word this? What should I do when my child does X, Y, and Z?
There you go.
So when my child is spinning uncontrollably in the living room, what should I do to help them? I'm glad I didn't forget that. That was a good one.
That's a good one. That's the best one.
That was a good one. Because sometimes it's hard to, like, translate, okay, you said this, but, like, where does that fit into my day? At what point can I use that tool? Yeah. That's that question.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dude, you nailed it with these questions for us. Love it. I love it. Well, I could honestly chat with you all day. When I when I come to Oklahoma, we'll just chat all day.
Come on. The floods are over, so you're good.
Oh, good.
There, this is the perfect time.
You can't go.
Yeah.
Crash has to come.
He'll come.
Yes.
It'll be a long drive, but we'll make it.
Or just fly. Is he too big to fly?
He would be a nervous Nelly.
He'd be fine.
On the plane.
Just give him
I would
some
have
Dramamine.
To drug him. That would be fun. No. We'll make it. We'll make it happen at some point. It'll be awesome.
Sounds good. I like it.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave us with?
I don't think so. Just thank you for doing what you're doing. And please keep sharing all of this information. It's been really helpful for me personally, but I know that it can help so many families dealing with sensory, vestibular, all the things, OT. So thank you.
We have to say the same thing to you because you are doing so much on social media as well. You have so many followers. I don't think I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so popular.
Well, think about all of those families, though.
I don't know
though.
How it happened, but
oh
I don't
gosh.
Know. I don't know where it happened.
It's amazing.
It is. I mean, all of those families are benefiting from you and what you're sharing and Connor and... I love it. So you keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
We need each other.
I'll try.
You got this.
All right, my dear. Well, give Connor a hug for me and Fenway a hug, too.
I will. Fenway left me. He had enough.
He had enough.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh, I love the dogs. All right, my dear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. That was an amazing interview.
I love her.
She is a rock star of a mom, for sure.
She is. She's going through so much. And like she said, Connor goes through even more than she does and still has a smile on his face.
So what does that tell you guys? We should just smile regardless.
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, and we are here to make the best of it.
And to just smile, because did you know, this is a little bit off topic, yeah, but did you know it actually takes more muscle strength to frown than it does to smile?
So let's just keep smiling.
Yeah.
So if you want to get in touch with Jenny, which you should because, well.
She's amazing.
She is. Then you
should go stalk her.
Yeah.
I heard someone say that on a podcast once, and I was like, that's great. Go stalk her on Instagram.
Yes. Her Instagram is amazing. She shares so many resources and helps people going through the same journey.
So you can find her on Instagram at ourlifeafternicu, and we'll tag it in the show notes.
Yep. And once again, you guys, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, what else is there to say?
Leave a review.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And keep listening. And yep. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.